Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski-Schneider, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski-Schneider is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Minds. I'm your host, Patty Baranowski-Schneider. Today I'm joined by Joe Rocky, founder of Elite Business Conversations. He's a serial entrepreneur, father, husband, author, and so much more. So I'm going to leave it for him to tell you about it. So welcome, Joe. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hey, Patty, I appreciate you getting me on here. I really greatly appreciate that. And for all the audience out there listening, you know, at some point during this episode, I'm going to leave you with an exercise that will greatly change your life. And I tell that explicitly so that you know a little bit of a preview, kind of Tarantino, of what you're going to get here. Nice. So, Patty, I'm an open book. I'll take whatever direction you want. I just ask that you make sure you leave us at least a couple minutes here at the end to be able to provide that for your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess tell us, a casino sales master proven system to beat the odds in sales and life. You talk about thriving economically in environments that typically guarantee failure. So what key principles have allowed you to succeed where others might not? And I guess just so people know, that's one of your many books, correct?
Yes. Well, that's the first book. So that's really the only book at this point. I'm published all over the place, a lot, especially in magazines. But that was the first full book we did, which is a Casino Sales Master Proven System to Beat the Odds in Sales and Life. So obviously, my background is all about selling correctly. I mean, that's going to be the starting point of really what drives me, because the 1960 sales method is all around us everywhere, and it's best exampled by the used car salesman. Like, if you close your eyes and think about what does a used car salesman interaction look like, right, that's essentially what sales is for the majority of the world. Right. And that's why so many people fled to the internet to go buy things. At least I get no one bothering me. It's better than what I'm normally getting. Right. But the problem is that for important purchases, people want to talk to someone. They want to have a connection. This is why you do not see successful online jewelry stores, especially high-end ones. People want to talk to something about an important commitment, an important purchase. Not necessarily expensive, but important. So what does this all have to do with a casino? So what I did is I took my sales system that I've been using and making for decades now, and teaching, obviously, and I took it to the hardest place on earth, a place that everyone knows you will lose, a casino. The house always wins. Everyone knows that. So how can you make a place that is designed for you to fail work? Well, the answer is you have to be able to do relationships correctly. You have to be able to sell different. You have to make yourself how to differentiate yourself. Right. And it's all through relationships. That's all the successful way that we go about it. So sorry for giving such a long answer.
Oh, totally.
But the reason we're different, the reason this works, and the reason it's completely repeatable is because it's all about relationship skills.
Right. One thing I always say is, like, I am not a good salesperson. And it is true. It has to be relationships, because even with people looking to raise capital, I can have tons of people in my network, you know, in a database to contact, but they're getting pitched. Think about it. They're getting pitched nonstop all day long. They need a relationship. They need to know who you are, that you've, you know, because I could be pitching them anybody under the sun. They want to know that I'm legit and that I've done my due diligence before I waste their time. So yeah, relationships are key in every aspect of this.
Absolutely. And the incredible majority of us have no idea how we form relationships. We just kind of fall into it, right? Like, I don't know how it happens. So the fact that you actually can dive into, learn how you make relationships, and then how to teach yourself how to be better at relationships and those around you, it's massively important information, which is why we put it in the book, because I wanted to be able to disseminate to as many people as possible. And, you know, the price of a book isn't an overwhelming burden to jump over. And in terms of what you're going to get, it is massive. I mean, when I say it is going to change your life, I'm not understating this. There are so many people that are going around with chains holding them back, as if they constantly are trying to fight this issue of how do I move forward in life when I'm getting pulled backwards all this way? And really, what's doing that is relationships that aren't the way your mind wants them. And how do you change that? Well, you got to get better at building better relationships. And the better you learn and how to address those, it's literally taking weight off your back. And the only subset of the economy that, or the population that really truly understands this, is those that have lost more than 150 pounds. That how much harder it used to be than it is now. This is the relationship and emotional equivalent of that.
Yeah. And I guess even with building the relationships, like I can say I get along with everybody under the sun and I'm fun and I'm caring and I'm loving and blah blah blah. And I've got so many friendship relationships and all of that has nothing to do with business. You have to have a totally different mindset on that because they don't want me to be their friend. And if I do come across that way, they're just gonna use and abuse it. Yeah, so yeah.
So you hit upon something that's very important there, which is the expectation of the relationship. Because as you said very clearly there, with friends, we act a little bit differently than we do in the business sense. But we also have to keep in mind that our brain is still the same brain, whether we're in a friendship or in a business standpoint. So how can we build ourselves in a way that is relationship appropriate? Because you're right, you act differently with your best friend than you do with your boss, than you do with your employees. You're supposed to, by the way. So how do you go about that? And that's a very important thing to know and to be true with yourself. And one of the ways that I teach people to give an example here is it's an exercise to find out in myself, what am I most comfortable with? And what am I able to do that literally will allow you to overcome every limitation? Now that's going to be the end result. Again, sorry for tarantining this. This is the way that you get there. I want you to close your eyes. And for those that have seen the movie Jurassic Park, you're going to know what I'm describing here with that little scene of the DNA guy flying around the screen like a tornado around your head. And just envision that. But instead of DNA strands, what you're having is words. And those words are going to be the actions and attributes that you love doing, particularly with other people. These can be things as complicated as doing calculus homework, or listening, or playing baseball, or running, or whatever that might be. Think of all of those different things that you like doing and see that little DNA strand pulling all of those words around your head, that all of these things that are inside of you that you love doing. And do this in a calm and a quiet space. And just allow that to happen. I'm talking about 10 minutes. You're sitting in a chair just thinking about all of the different things that you like doing and enjoying. And now think of how many there are. They're going so fast. They're kind of just congealing into one big blob, almost like butter. And it's just becoming one thing. And now, as you've been thinking of all of those words, seeing them flying around in your mind, focus on the three to six that you love the most, particularly the attributes about yourself that you love doing the most, whether it be having curiosity, wanting to learn more, listening, being able to communicate, whatever attributes those might be. Envision those as that blob melts away so that those three to six things are the only things that are left in your mind. And as you see those attributes, those will be what your mind tells you, because it's part of you and it's a part of your brain you don't normally listen to, that are the most important elements of your life. So when you're in a situation where it seems too hard, or I don't know how to move forward, these are your fundamental foundation beings to rely upon within yourself. They're also all free. So whether this be having challenge of connecting with a relationship at work, like how do I connect? Well, one of my things was I really like listening to people. That's a great starting point. I really am good at making sure that my voice is heard. I'm very good at whatever they are for you. Those are what you go into. And really, when you bedrock yourself in that area, you don't have limitations anymore. You just have different situations where I can apply one of my foundations. It is a radical shift. And this is not something you do once and forget it, by the way. This is something that one of our weekly exercises we have our clients do. But it will radically change and enhance your life on a day-to-day basis. What is my best at? Because these attributes that are about us, they're all connected to other people. And as life is all about relationships, it's naturally going to make yourself a more stronger building and therefore better at dealing relationships. Can't build a building unless you have a good foundation. This is the foundation. So one of the drills I promised to give your audience here, there's one early.
Well, that's good stuff. I mean, stuff you don't even think about. So yeah.
Well, most of this people never think about, because the vast majority of us live on autopilot, especially in the realm of relationships. It's why you get into the same fight with the same people all the time. It's why you hate going to Thanksgiving, because you're on autopilot and so are they. And last time anyone checked, this was an okay setting. Whether it is or not, that's life.
Right. Good stuff. Now tell us, as a serial business creator and consultant, you've had a wide array of experiences. So can you share a transformative moment or project that profoundly shaped your understanding of sales and business?
Yeah. So one of the things that our main clientele, just I guess I got to put this up front to let people know, I work with business owners that kind of want to break up with their business. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They have spent all of their time in this thing. They have missed so many bedtime stories they didn't get to tell, so many dance recitals they didn't get to see, so many double plays they missed because they're in their business. Or they're mentally checked out of where they're at and they're in their phone trying to figure out how to put out a mistake. That's the world my clientele are in. So what we do is, first and foremost, we want to make sure everyone stays employed. You accomplish that by having the business work without the business owner. Because as a business owner, you can't live like that forever. You're going to fold and want to leave. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're going to do it in a way where your employees don't get fired. So to give an example here, you come a business owner literally got served divorce papers because he's not home. And he's sitting here, I'm watching his entire deer in the headlights to the max, because he thought he was building this business for his family. And economically speaking, he did. But because of the time that he had to put into it, he ultimately created the rift that could break the whole thing apart. So what we solved was giving him his time back. So that the divorce never went through, by the way, it stopped it from happening. And what we ultimately gave was his life back. So when you talk about transformation, you go from never seeing your kids to I can now be here anytime because the business works without me. And we figured out how to make that happen. So yes.
That's actually really, really impressive because, yeah, I mean, that seems to be, you know, even back in the day, I was a single mom working 18-hour days. You know, I can't change back the hands of time, but it's like, it's just what I had to do back then. And nothing was ever talked about back then. You know, everything was just do as you're told, and that was it. But I wish these things were something to grasp for back then.
Yes, no, I absolutely, and you're not the only one. I mean, you look at it, it's actually probably the biggest difference of the generational divide in the workplace today, because the older generations had the mentality of, I have to put the time in. And that's how it was articulated. And the ones now are like, just give me the results today.
Right.
It's, you know, some people have said this is the difference of growing up with Iron Man versus growing up with Underdog. it's part of it. But the thing is you've built these amazing businesses, but you've done it through so much sweat equity and putting your time into it, which is great. I'm not diminishing that at all.
Right.
But the problem is that no one can replace you it's not a sellable business.
Not.
If you disappear today and the business would crumble, it's not sustainable. The reality is one day you were either going to die or you were going to retire. Which one comes first is kind of up to you. Your kid's not going to take over this gig if you just die one day and like, well, I don't have 60 hours to give. I don't have that level of expertise. It's it's unrealistic. So actually, let's work with someone to make this so I can work without it, without me being in the business. The business will survive without me.
Right.
You know, we all use the analogy of it's my baby, it's my baby. If you don't let your kids leave the nest, you have failed as a parent.
Yeah, good words. Now tell us, Elite Business Conversations focuses on honoring the sacrifices of business owners. So can you elaborate on how you firm, how your firm achieves this and the impact it's having your clients?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, we honor it because you did do all those sacrifices. You did miss so much activities that you didn't want to miss. That's a sacrifice. And if you just turn your business off and let it go away, it's a disservice to everything you've already put into it. But if you can make it live without you being involved as the business owner, that is honoring your sacrifice. And that is, you know, you're not going to get an aneurysm 5 years from now from realizing you fired all your employees. Like, it's literally adding time to your life that you've worked so hard to make.
Yeah, that's good. Now tell us, your international syndicated TV program reaches 55 million households. So what message do you hope to import to such a vast audience, and what's been the response?
So what I really try to accomplish in that is hitting upon a thing that I alluded to earlier. So many of us are living in autopilot. Like, we're just going through life. And because of that, we get goldfish syndrome. And what I mean by that is, if you watch a goldfish, basically they just do what the other one does. And they don't put any real thought into it. Whether the other one is doing something that is patently a bad idea or not, they all just keep doing it. So what we do is we use this space to talk to different experts in different fields about what is some myth that people are keep following and it's causing issues that they really shouldn't be. We've had a wide gamut of industries being represented, from skincare to the way you do sales to the way you do neuropsychology, what you eat. We've had nutritionists. You name it, we've addressed a myth that's out there. And the whole goal is, like, not to tell people what to think, not to just make us the new gold leader of the goldfish, but to actually get you out of that mindset and go, whoa, I don't necessarily agree with their solution, but it's good to think about.
Right.
Or maybe you do agree with their solution. The point is that the goal is to get you to think about, there is a different way of going about this. Maybe I should question this, that, or the other. You know, maybe just following the whole way that the government tells us to eat, even though everyone's getting fatter and progressively less healthy, is something I should question.
Right.
That's an example.
No, I mean, it is true, because, you know, I know even for myself, go on autopilot, just how it is. It's like having someone from the outside take a step back and say, did you know, you know, gives you something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, like, is ethanol actually a good idea? Who asked that question? You don't actually think about it. You're just like, yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Oh,
like, how should you use AI? Is AI actually the right solution for all tools? Like, it's being presented as.
These are the kind of
questions I address on Elite Business Conversations TV.
No, but sometimes you need that, because so many people just be like, I'm thinking it. But it's like, you take that one person to speak up and then you're like, I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to be the one to say it, you know?
And one of my things, go back to our exercise before, is I don't have that problem. So.
That's
I call it courage in my space, but that's I don't have that.
No, but that's awesome. Now tell us, as a keynote speaker, what's the core message you aim to leave at your audience, and how do you tailor your message to different groups?
So I tailor the message by talking to the group before we get there. When I do events, I always do the full day there. I'm not the kind of speaker who just boom, shows up, does his spiel and bails. Not denigrating anyone that does that. It's just not how I roll. So I come and I actually talk to the whole audience before. Obviously, I've done talk conversations with the event planner themselves for what they think it is. But I always like to talk to the actual audience the day of, make sure I'm right. Because the last thing I want to do is start talking about AB when they want to hear about F and G. It's like, oh, that's stupid. So the way I tailor it is that's the process. First, obviously, an in-depth interview with the planner, and then talking to people who are going to be there at the event the day of it. But as far as what I talk about, it is an entire gamut of anything that involves sales. And when I say involves sales, it's no one knows we exist as a company to now we're in front of a prospect. How do we convert this into a future resource for a promise of a good? And then now that they are bought the good, how do we do the post sale to keep them signed up for the subscription? So there's 500 areas that I've had conversations with there. And the other area we do is with the business culture. How do you motivate your employees? How do you incentivize them? How do you discipline them? What is the actual structure you should have? What should your managers be doing? Like, how involved should they be or not? When do we allow people to have freedom to roam? So these are all various different questions that I certainly have answers to. And that's how we go about it from the speaking perspective. We hit there and we kind of let the audience tell us what their biggest need is. Because the majority of time, I'm either talking to direct owners or the highest level C-level executives in charge of that space. So I'm talking to the people who can actually do the hardcore changes in the moment.
Right. It's good. I mean, I know even with companies, you know, I do IRP or marketing, and I've had clients where they assume that their investors or the investment community or even public, this is the story that they want to hear. And we've done perception studies. And it's like, no, that's not it at all. Or even the message that you're telling, that's not what they're hearing. You know, so they need somebody on the outside to dissect that. Yeah, I like how you're doing it on both sides, like how to get them as a company, but also internally, how to get you to that point to be able to do that. That's good stuff.
Absolutely. You know, it's, you know, if you don't deal with how the employees are going to be wanting this, embracing this change, it's never getting to the outside of your company. You know, to do any change successfully, this is just not to go on a whole tangent here. This is something this change has to have in common. All four of these variables, if you want it to be acceptable, it has to be something that is directly controllable, meaning that we can impact it 100%, not that an outside force can mess with it. It has to be controllable. It also has to be thorough enough that we're not going to make errors when we go down this road.
Right.
But it also has to be simple. This is where it's hard. This is where it also has to be simple enough that everyone will be able to grasp it and then accepted that it's going to actually have a benefit for all.
Right.
So if you're able to have a change, I'll have all four of those things. It will get adopted, carried out, and be successful. If you're missing any of those four elements, it ain't going to work. It's just how hard it's going to crash and burn.
Right. But yeah, I guess sometimes people, you know, they might think something that they need somebody from the outside to kind of shake them and say, okay, let's make this work.
it certainly helps. There's no way around that because you're always inside your own tank. It's hard to get the perspective of why someone might be missing this,
right.
Especially the more, let's say, dominant personality types that are involved in the process.
Right. Yeah, a little evil, but yeah. Now, on a totally different note, you mentioned a future goal of owning the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mm-hmm. So how does this ambition align with your professional journey and philosophy and sales and life?
Well, like I said, the book is about overcoming impossible odds. So anyone who follows baseball knows the Pirates haven't won anything since the 70s, despite the fact the team across the street does. So there is some answers that go into that. There's a lot of beliefs that I do with building a business that I know will transfer to any industry. I've seen it work in virtually every industry. And to be able to do the incentivization process correctly and to be able to actually motivate people when they're 18 in your minor league system and how to get them dominant at the professional level is one of the largest problems that arguably every sports franchise has right now in America, at least. I can't attest to the ones outside of here, but that's the greatest problem. And since most organizations, franchises are horrible at that, the few that are kind of good at developing a minor league system are the ones that have long-term professional success. Because even the companies that try to buy their players that someone else has developed don't really work that well. I mean, you don't see the Dodgers, who have the largest payroll in the world, winning championships. they look like they should every year, but it hasn't come to pass. So part of it is really, how do you develop your team? How do you make them better? I know I can do it. I want to do it. It just comes down to, in terms of the economic success of being able to cut that check and buying them.
No, it does make sense, because it is, motivating a team, and getting them to see the big picture. So I get it. So anybody out there with connections to the Pittsburgh Pirates, listen up.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's going to do that is he dies and you cut the kid a check. That's going to be the only way it's going to happen. But
you never know. Think big.
I do not know. That is true. But I got to be able to cut that check first. Let's go. Yeah. That level. All
right. Now, with the vast array of sales strategies and mythologies available, what are some common misconceptions you encounter about sales, and how does your book address them?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that the 1960s sales method has ruined is the desire not to be a part of sales in general. Because no one wants to use someone. No one wants to wake up and, for lack of a little kid word, feel icky. You know, I don't want to look myself in the mirror and, like, I just cause that to people. And the biggest myth is that you have to be that way. The reality is that sales is the only position, only profession within our entire economy that you can control your entire income and time life with, that has zero starting requirements. Every person on this planet has the ability to do what is great at sales from the moment they are born. Now, granted, a lot of us get some of these characteristics beaten out of us, told to get away from and whatnot, and we go through the book of how to re-enliven them and perfect those skills, but we all have them in us innately already. We all don't have the ability to be a NASA scientist or to be a heart surgeon. We don't, but we all have the ability to sell. And because of that, you can take your life anywhere you want. And you can do it in a way where you will love yourself in the mirror, not just when you look at your bank account. So that is the myth that I try to dispel. That it's really, like I said, everything I do is about relationships, but it's the greatest beacon of hope. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. Anything that a politician is telling you that's holding you back, wrong. You can join into sales, become good at it, and because it's required in every industry and every job, if you don't like your boss in the particular spot you're at, you can go to somewhere else. Every company needs elite salespeople, period. So it is the ticket to freedom in so many ways that I just take for granted now at this point, to be honest with you. But you do have complete freedom of who you work with, where you work, your lifestyle, your income levels. And it's the scary part, it's on you, though. You have to produce. You have to be good at it. And that's why we teach it in Casino Sales Master, how to do that, both in the book and then in the accompanying courses that, again, you guys can get at CasinoSalesMaster.com.
Right. I mean, it is good, but it's, I know, like, generations, like my generation, we were always raised, kids are seen and not heard, do as you're told, you know, all of that. And if you thought something, like, I would never, you know, you, and it's just weird. Like, I don't have that. I shouldn't say I don't have it in me. I just, it's been hidden. So it is good to know that everybody can do this, but it's kind of pulling it out of them, you know?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And like, you have like these weird revelations at different points of your life. Like, oh, I can call people who are older than me by a first name now. Like,
yeah.
When did that start happening? like these are the types of things, like, oh, maybe I did suppress something I shouldn't have. Now, granted, we have societal reasons why we do some of this, but now that we're all adults, how do we play correctly, and how do we do this in a way where, yes, not only does this person want me to solve their problems, I want to solve their problem, and I know how to do it. Let's make some stuff happen.
Yeah, good breaking them out of that shell. Good stuff. Now tell us, looking towards the future, how do you see the landscape of sales evolving? What role do you believe honest connections will play in the transformation?
All of it. So really, so much of the problem is being perpetuated to this day by all of the fancy Ivy League schools that you don't want to send your kids to, yet you're saving a lifestyle to go to. Because they start by teaching, how do you identify your ideal prospect through demographics? Because that's the way everyone did it. But the problem with that is you completely miss the entire reason you exist and for sales as a company. You exist because you solve a problem, which then comes to the substitute teacher that also does it wrong, which is live in benefits, features and benefits. No. Yeah, I mean, yes, you do need to make sure that your Band-Aid actually will stick onto the part that hurts. And yes, putting some Neosporin in it is probably going to get better for the results. But what are you really selling? You're selling the knowledge to the mother that you're not going to have to amputate your kid's arm. That's what you're selling in a Band-Aid. You're selling a security blanket that now that there's because Batman's on it, I'm going to be happy and I'm going to stop crying because Batman's right here. It's okay now. That's not glue and some rubber. That's what you're selling. And so many people miss that because they want to be up here at features and benefits. And they don't want to dive into the ocean that is the emotions of your client. What is really going on there? Granted, most clients don't know this either. This is part of the skill set of being able to teach it and truly explore it. But we can figure this out. And this is how you will change the world. Because when you start buying and selling and realizing this is about the feeling of security so that the two-year-old isn't screaming anymore. This is about the fact that I don't have a blistering headache anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what actually matters to someone. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is a conversation that becomes easier and easier you do it. It's hard up first. If you're not comfortable talking about your own emotions and mm-hmm. diving into yourself, as you alluded to earlier, mm-hmm. you can't do these types of conversations easily. You can't even see the connections in most part. Mm-hmm. It is a skill set that you dive into and do. And in fact, I guess while I'm here, I might as well give the exercise for that. It's another one of the weekly exercises we have people do. There's five of them per week. So we just basically block off an hour each day. I'd normally recommend when you first get there, but that's up to you and your sales team. But what you want to do, again, put yourself in a sensory deprived environment, quiet, sitting still, ideally with your eyes closed. And essentially what you're going to do is look back at some event in your mind from when your younger version of you went through it that didn't happen the way you wish it would have. It could be a minor event, like I wish I would order Cherry Coke instead of normal Coke. It could be a major event from your past. You will get to them all eventually. It just depends on how comfortable you are getting there quickly. And what's going to happen is when you look at that event through your now older eyes, this is not to cast blame or judgment. This will be a very gentle self-discovery process. But what you're going to do is look at starting point, the relationship expectation of all the people involved. So again, this isn't even about the people and the way you remember. This is person A and person B, trying to take yourself out of the situation as much as possible. And based upon person A and person B, what type of relationship should be involved? Is it parent-child, employer-employee, coworkers, friends, whatever? You know what the relationship should be, and you look at why it wasn't that way. And now, as an adult, from each of the people's perspective, the one you were and the one you weren't, how would I have changed that? And as you go through this, you are going to feel a lot of different emotions along the way. It is always necessary to be gentle with yourself and realistic. Both are important. They can be challenging at some points, but both are important. How to be realistic with yourself of what am I looking at from my past and being gentle in discovering it. And the first couple times, you're either going to get overwhelmed and freaked out and never want to do this again, or you're going to pick something that is going to be very surface level and not meaningful. What will happen over time is you'll be comfortable going into the depths, the scary caverns of your soul, and sitting there. This is not necessarily about solving the issue. It's about being comfortable in the waters. And the more you're able to do that with yourself, the more other people will be able to recognize this in you. It's no other way to describe it. It's like if you became a bodybuilder like Arnold Schwarzenegger, people will be able to look at you and go, oh, that guy probably works out. This is the emotional equivalent of that. And the more you're able to do it, the more comfortable strangers, aka prospects, will be going with you and having conversations about, you know, I came to this car lot to buy a truck, obviously, that's why I'm here. The features are the four wheels and the engine. But what I'm really buying is the same memory I had with my grandpa when he would drive me around in his truck. That's what I want to go around and do. Which salesperson do you think has a better closing ratio? The one who talks about the V8 engine and all its power, or the one that's talking about how you used to spill ice cream in the bed of that truck? You laugh because it's obvious, yeah. But no one's willing to do that because they won't do the exercise that I just outlined before. That's one of the huge differentiations you can do to change your entire sales career, not to mention your life, because it applies to every relationship thereafter. Mm-hmm.
It totally makes sense, because then you'll get that, you know, I guess it's like once you break out of it yourself, you have that confidence. And that's mm-hmm. one thing that I always admired. Like, you can always tell a good salesman. They're just so confident. I mean, yourself, very confident in what you're doing. But I would be like, well, you know, it's, we have this, but if you don't want to do that, that's okay. You know, that's not a salesperson. Yeah, but it's just not my forte yet. But yeah.
The other part is it's different because you're basically just introducing different options at that point. You're not trying to force anyone on them. It's like, okay, this option doesn't work for it. We can play logistic games of pricing. Like, we can make that so you pay overtime or whatever. But it's really just, okay, this isn't the right fit. Now that I understand you a little better, I can now prescribe you this. And it's just like any other guide you would have in a scary environment. You'll be able to detect immediately if they're comfortable. You know, if you're with someone who's a skydiving instructor and they just feel great, you're with them. If they're like, I don't know, man, I've never done this before, let's see what happens. You get on that plane? No. This is the same situation. And it literally doesn't matter what you're going to be selling the plane itself. You could be selling Band-Aids and anything in between. This is how you connect to the next level. This is the element of creating in human connections, relations that you need to. And to answer your question that you said at the beginning before I went on this whole tangent, which I apologize if I did, was this is what's going to change the world. People are going to expect to be sold in a way that has meaningful connections, not in this forcing just different features and benefits down my throat. This is why AI will never replace salespeople, period. And AI can't do this. Trust me, China is trying right now. They've been trying for a decade. And to not go all macro on you here, China has a major problem that they have something like four dudes for every one woman. And they have created a literal catfish dating app. Oh my God. And they've been trying to perfect it. It does not work. It is impossible to work because human relations cannot be synthesized.
Right. It totally makes sense. I love all this. This is awesome. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about that we didn't touch on, or what you have going on?
I always like asking this question because it kind of lets me know where I talk well or not. And I do the same thing for my speeches as well. We just had this experience together of sharing some information. Was there anything that stood out to you during this conversation?
I guess, yeah, because you're basically taking, you know, instead of having a textbook way of doing things like the used car salesman sort of thing, you're basically, I always love when people are real. So you're a real person and saying you have to break it down and bring in the emotions into it. How can you connect with people? What you know, what's that soft point that you can connect with them? You know, so that kind of is a better way of doing sales, I think. So it totally makes sense. And I like how you don't just do it for one specific person. You have every type of company or business out there. You know, and you're working on both sides, not just the one. It's not just, I need to help you teach you how to make sales. You have to also teach how to make a full company. And I think on your LinkedIn, I think it says if you're working more than 5 hours, you're doing too much or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it makes total sense, though.
Well, that's it. And on that note, you can find us at Elite Business Conversations, because if you're going to give the business to someone else, someone's going to want it. They're going to want to buy a business, not your job. Even if it's only 5 hours a week, they don't want to buy your job. They want to buy your business. So if you're required to be there, you don't have a business yet. You might be getting paid a lot. You might be doing a lot of big impact and the difference, but that's basically you. That's not your business. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's us at Elite Business Conversation. Then obviously you can find us at Casino Sales Master for all the information on the book and then the coaching courses as well to kind of dive into some of that, as well as get even more of the trainings that we give. I give a couple of the ones we give people, but we have very many of them. And at the end of the day, the whole goal is to make yourself better at connecting with relationships, because realistically, you look throughout all of mankind, it's not been the size of my army. It's not been the size of my bank account. It's been how quality are the relationships I have around me. Not the quantity, the quality. And it all starts with things I taught you during this episode, like how to put a good foundation within yourself,
right.
How to make yourself comfortable in what might be emotionally stressful environments. These are all requirements to make yourself better at relationships. And again, trying to bust the myth here, you can learn how to be better at relationships, and it can be taught to you by someone who knows what they're doing.
Stuff. Good stuff. And you work with everybody around the world, right?
That's right. As long as you speak English. I'm sorry for those who don't. But
no, it's all good.
I have my own limitations as well.
Good stuff. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Again, that was Joe Rocky. So thanks for listening to Successful Minds with Patty B. Never miss an episode by subscribing. So thank you so much again. Good stuff.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Successful Minds with your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.